Good evening. You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman. We are Gallatin Valley Community Radio. You can find us on your FM radio dial at 95.9, and we're online at kgvm.org. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. It's time now for the Local Musician Spotlight, where we have a local artist or band come into the studio and play some songs for us. We'll talk about music. I want to thank an underwriter before we get going. KGVM would like to thank Bozeman Arts Live for their support of our programming. Bozeman Arts Live is a digital platform for Montana creatives, providing production support, video and audio production, marketing, and a platform to local artists and art groups. They are art for this moment and will continue their efforts to keep it live and alive. Are you an artist or art group looking for marketing or production support? They invite you to learn more at their website, bozemanarts-live.com. They regularly post updates about the groups they support on their social media platforms, including Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, SoundCloud, and YouTube. You can follow them to stay informed about the best music, arts, films, and other events that Bozeman has to offer. Bozeman Arts Live, art for this moment. We want to thank Bozeman Arts Live for supporting programming here on KGVM and specifically for supporting the Local Musician Spotlight. And tonight, it's been a while since we've had somebody down here in the studio, so I'm really excited to be down here. And we've got Steven here with us in the studio tonight.
Hey, thank you everyone for being here.
Yeah, so I think we're going to play some songs. I was wondering just kind of to start out if you could maybe talk a little bit about how long you've been playing music, how you got started, and how you've kind of gotten to where you are now.
Sure. I've been playing music for all of my life. I picked up music when I was 6. I did like the really classic thing. Your parents sign you up for piano lessons, and surprisingly, I just stuck with it for over 20 years. So that's kind of like where my journey started, I guess. Just always been into all kinds of music. I was classically trained my whole life, loved classical music, and I grew up in New York City, so just going to concerts and operas at, like, Lincoln Center and Carnegie Hall, it was just all, like, really inspiring to me. I think, like, New York City itself, like, even, like, without the music, like, just the entire art scene has always been, like, a huge influence for me and stuff. So, just being really into all kinds of music. My parents love like soul and kind of like folk, a lot of like Creedence Clearwater and Bee Gees. So just growing up with all different kinds of genres going on. Yeah.
I think that's a good thing when you're, have a diverse musical palette to, appreciation and to pull from, I think, I don't see how it can help but make your music more interesting if you're creating music too. So. How did you come to be in Bozeman from New York City?
I was just wanting to try something new, and it's a lot of my friends from New York were like, "Are you sure?" but I mean, I visited here and I fell in love with it, just like the landscaping and the nature, and which, you know, which I think can be equally inspiring for music and art. Just, you know, being around nature and the calm of the environment and stuff, and just being inspired by something completely different, I think, can reinvent your art form in some way.
Yeah, I think it's probably just about kind of polar opposites, the hustle and bustle of New York and maybe going out up in the mountains here and being by yourself are very, very different experiences. But, I've talked to a lot of people and they say, you know, they draw a lot of inspiration from both kinds of things, so.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's necessary to have change, you know, especially as, like, as a person, as a human, but also as an artist. You know, I think it's important to have a change of pace, a change of environment, a change of routine. Like, I think all of that can be really beneficial to when you're trying to create different kinds of art and different kinds of music.
Yeah. So you got here last fall.
Yeah.
And obviously things were a little bit different last year. And I mean, we were just talking before the show about how things are heading in different directions now, but certainly for a while this summer, it felt like things were sort of maybe starting to look a little bit like they had back in 2019. So, especially on the music scene here in Bozeman. So you haven't gotten to see too much of the music scene here yet, which is unfortunate, but, maybe we'll maybe talk about a little bit of that, but I wonder if you wanted to play a song or two to kick us off here.
Yeah, I'm going to play two songs from my EP. I start off writing all my songs on acoustic guitar, or piano, or sometimes like just in my head. So yeah, I'm really excited to share that with everyone. I'm going to start off with Eyes in the Dark, which is the first song off my EP, Creature. Hold me closer, monster in my bed. I wanna feel your heartbeat pressed against my chest. And I wanna feel all the joy and fear. Hear your voice in my head, see your eyes in the dark. Hold me close now, monster in my bed. I wanna cry out my tears till there's nothing left, and you wanna feel. Then I'm gonna heal. Breaking my heart. Hear your voice in my head, see your eyes in the dark. Hold me closer, monster in my bed. I wanna scream out my fears till there's nothing left. And I wanna feel that our dreams are real. Fill up my heart. Hear your voice in my head, see your eyes in the dark. Hear your voice in my head, see your eyes in the dark. Hear your voice in my head, see your eyes in the dark. All right, this next one is called Astria. This is the first song I wrote for the EP, and I wrote this song for many reasons, but more importantly, I really wanted to play at this open mic in New York, and they only took original songs, so which was a really great motivator. I'm talking specifically about Pete's Candy Shop, which is one of my favorite open mics back in New York. Wrote it for many reasons, but that was definitely a main one. Again, this one's called Astria. My father was a troubled man. My mother left home way too young. Can't sleep at night, so I dream all day of Astria. I always take the lonely course. Oh, forgot the lyric there. Let me see if you can come back to me. I always take the lonely course. I'm not afraid of heights or water. Never seen anything quite like you, Astrea. Astrea. Immortal or mortality, no sky or earth above or beneath me, and out of the blue I had to reach Astrea infinitely. Will you run away, away with me? A troubled man. His father left him way too young. Couldn't fix his heart, so I sailed away to Astrea. I never was a careful soul. I never looked up to psalms or statues. I've waited all my life for you, Astrea. Immortal or mortality, no sky or earth above or beneath me, and out of the blue I hands will reach Astrea infinitely. Will you love me true and endlessly? Immortal or mortality, no sky or earth above or beneath me, and out of the blue I hands will reach Astrea infinitely. Will you run away, away with me?
It's a pretty song.
Thank you.
So your EP Creature must have just come out not too long ago, huh?
No, it just came out last month in July.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you, is it just online or did you have physical copies made or?
No, not at the moment. That does require some extra funds to like produce physical copies, but they're on all streaming platforms, and I also have them up for free on YouTube, just because I respect people's decisions to not want to pay for streaming platforms. So
yeah,
and it's there for free for people to listen to. It's for download on Bandcamp. People can purchase it for $7.
Nice.
They'd love to support me. I'd greatly appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big big Bandcamp fan and supporter, and I think that especially the way that the pricing models are for so many of the streaming platforms, it's very convenient for the consumer, but it's really pretty borderline awful for the artist.
Oh, and, yeah. I see so many huge artists just kind of for fun show their checks on Instagram and stuff. And it's $2. And these are artists with tens of millions of streams. So that's I think that's insane. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty painful. So I like this. I like it when people, and I don't know, just the mindset has changed so much. I'm old. And so I was used to going and buying albums, and I still do that. But, I hope that people kind of keep that in mind that revenue from streaming platforms is not going to keep any artist alive, even much less thriving. So, things like Bandcamp, I think, are a great alternative. So, so you recorded Creature here in Bozeman?
Yes, I recorded all of the demos back in New York. I made all the sounds and produced it on Ableton with my partner Dylan Thomas. And when we came to Bozeman, we had finished recording the vocals and some extra guitars and drums all at Jericho. So it was a really fun experience, and it's an awesome studio. It's super fun to just be there. And the two, I recorded basically aside from all the electronics and some of the extra things that I did in my own home studio, I recorded there for 2 days. They were both 2 weeks apart, and I was there each day for 12 to 15 hours, which is not the way to do it. But just with how my time was working then, it was the only way I can get it done. And but it was fun. I don't think recording is my favorite thing to do.
No.
Yeah, I think I love sitting in front of the computer and producing, and just I could sit there all day and just kind of play around with it and make music and stuff. And I love writing. I love being able to sit down and write. But just recording is just it's just so awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but probably unavoidable that there's all of the pressures due to, the time in the studio and everything that are not conducive to, taking your time to really decide how you want the music to come out.
Right, so. Right. It's you beforehand, you just have this anxiety. It's I better go in there and I better nail it because I only have this amount of time to do it.
Yeah. So I think I first saw you at Cactus Records, and you did some of the songs live there in the store and had some of the backing tracks that you'd done in Ableton.
Yeah.
I assume. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that I kind of like the acoustic versions of them quite a bit.
That's awesome.
To hear. I like the other versions too, but I think that when you kind of strip it back like that, the lyrics and the what you're trying to say kind of is unavoidable. It's front and center, and it you're not distracted by some of the cool sounds and everything. I mean, those are great parts of the music, certainly, too. But for me, I think sometimes kind of the first blush is getting to really pay a lot of attention to the lyrics and what the song's trying to say, and then maybe think about how it can all blossom into a full-fledged song is pretty interesting. So
yeah, it's kind of funny how you bring that up, because I think subconsciously, I'm one of those people that, I don't feel comfortable sharing how I feel. I don't feel comfortable saying what I want to say. And that's why I kind of created Creature the way it was, in which, everything was kind of, there's no, aside from Astria, I would say that's probably, the most, upfront song I have, or most forward song in the have. It's that I have on the EP. It's I'm using a lot of first person and just kind of talking about me as a person. But all the other songs, I feel if I can kind of create some kind of different fantasy or narrative for it, I would feel more comfortable kind of saying what I want to say. And in terms of the loud, glitchy sounds and electronic sounds that I have on the EP, I think subconsciously, I mean, I enjoy making those sounds, and I love electronic music. I love electronic dance music. And I love like hard rock music. And sometimes I feel like having that noise over what I'm saying, it's just like, I know it's just kind of like, I want to say what I'm feeling, but I also don't really want to. So I'm just going to have like this like static right in front of me. Yeah. Just so if you are really trying to hear me, then you would. And if not, if you're just like, I'm kind of hearing it, but I'm mostly just enjoying what she's saying. Like, so I think that subconsciously I do that when I'm like deciding how I'm going to like make the final song.
That's interesting. You know, I sometimes listen to, you know, songs after they've been produced and when you say it like that, I think that is kind of something I've noticed. Like, man, I would expect you would maybe your vocals would be more upfront in the mix. It's like, well, no, maybe if you're trying to fit into the song as sort of the narrator instead of the protagonist, you know, maybe that would lead you to make some decisions differently. So that's pretty interesting to think about.
Yeah, it's kind of like being at rock shows like or like concerts. Like I love being at concerts because you can just like sing and be really loud, but like there's all this like loud noise from the crowd and like the band up, and like you're able to like have this relief of just like screaming out loud, but then like no one can really hear you. And like I think that sometimes like that's how I feel about my music. Like I just like want to imagine myself singing into like this giant void and there's just like loud static and glitches and just like heavy drums and stuff like that. So
I mean, there's certainly something to be said for the energy that can bring too. I mean, it's significantly different than like what you can do with an acoustic guitar and a microphone. So so a good experience recording at Jericho.
Yes, it was awesome. It was super fun. It's an amazing studio they've got. I just like hate saying like they've got amazing equipment. It's like duh. it's a great studio. You know, like I mostly work in like my own home studio and stuff like that. And so I think that like being in an environment like that is really inspiring and stuff. And I mean, I think that nowadays there's just so many ways you can make music on your own as long as you have the funds. And I mean, you don't even need the most expensive mic. Like you just need like one condenser mic or dynamic mic. And that's really all you need. And I mean, honestly, I think you just have to be a good producer. And it doesn't really matter like what you're working with. Like you can be working with Ableton Light and only have like 10 tracks to work with, but you can make something like super cool. So I think it's really cool how people are able to make music on their own. And there's not a need to like have a giant label and have like so much money and funding just to make music and share it with people. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's been a great thing, kind of this democratization. I think it might cut both ways a little bit because it's great that people can make it and they don't need to like make some sort of horrible, you know, sell their soul to some record label.
Yeah.
They don't need to, you know, rent out their firstborn to try to come up with the money to make something. But I think on the flip side, because so many people are doing that, sometimes there's this deluge of things out there to listen to now, and trying to figure out, like trying to find your way through that can be a little tricky. I find that sometimes, like if you go on Bandcamp, man, there's millions of people out there that almost no one's ever heard of. And, you know, how do you, I don't have the time to sit there and try to figure out which ones I like and don't like. I mean, the nice thing about it is you don't have to just like randomly pick things. And if you like them, get them. But, you know, I think it can be a little intimidating with the number of different alternatives and choices out there now. It's great because, you know, nobody's telling you what you should like or not like and stuff, but trying to sort it out, I think sometimes can be a little daunting.
It definitely is. I think like from the artist perspective, it's been kind of a struggle, like trying to kind of make an online presence and see, you know, like everyone's on Instagram, so they moved on to TikTok, and now everyone's on TikTok, so now they're on Discord, and now everyone's on Discord. So it's all just completely saturated. And I guess, like, as a, from a consumer standpoint, but also, like, from an artist standpoint, because I do listen to artists for inspiration, like, I feel guilty a lot if I notice that, like, a lot of the artists I'm listening to are, like, mainstream. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I should be like, trying to listen to more, like, independent music or indie artists. Like, I should be going out of my way to find them. Like, I feel, like, that guilt sometimes where I'm just like, what have I been listening to today or all week? And I'm like, these are all, like, technically mainstream artists. And, like, am I part of the problem? Like,
yeah. It's – Yeah, you know, it's really interesting, the evolution, and like trying to keep a radio station going. You know, I had more than a few people when I started getting involved with this look at me like I had grown a third head and said, radio? I mean, isn't radio dead? And there are probably some people now that would say the same thing about streaming, like streaming stations. But one thing that I think there's a potential for is a places that people can go to find some help, find some people that have curated some stuff. And I know that that can go both ways too, because most of those places are going to, they're going to lead you right back to the commercially successful artists and stuff. But I think there's room out there for people that, that will, like, have the time and the drive to help people find indie music and stuff, but kind of help to sort it out a little bit. And, you know, suggest, hey, maybe here's some artists you've never heard of that you should and stuff. So, you know, I think there's some opportunities there for people to try to help. And I think, you know, some of the social media helps to do some of that too. But like you said, it's getting more and more saturated too. So trying to pick things out of that is hard.
I think we're going back to the old school ways, actually. I think we're slowly going back, like vinyls are really popular now, and like, you know, you're talking about curators, and when I had put out the EP, I sent it out to a bunch of curators, and they all kind of, like, said, like, really similar things. They all loved it, but they couldn't put it, like, on their playlist because it was either too ethereal or not ethereal enough, or it was too pop, or it wasn't pop enough, and it was just like, so which one is it? And I would say, I think, like, for independent artists, I think it's important that when you make music, you share it with your friends and your family and your colleagues or people you know who are going to support you, because then you can kind of forget that, like, you might actually be making something substantial and stuff. And I was, like, having a hard time with that. And then I just did this really old school, just emailed all of my former colleagues and professors, and I was just like, why don't I just email this to people I know that actually know me, you know, from a personal standpoint? And I got really great responses from that. And there is a chain effect there, because they have friends that have friends that have friends. And, like, I sent it to one of my professors, and she got a degree in neuroscience from Harvard. So I'm like, huh, I think I appreciate her opinion much more than some, like, random, like, 20-year-old somewhere and, like, LA that's telling me my music is, like, not indie enough or something like that. Yeah. I think we forget that our own circles and our own social circles are just as powerful as, like, the online platform, which is infinite, which is, and it's also filled with, like, lots of highly critical people for no reason. But
the internet is a cesspool of horribleness, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, yeah, that's pretty interesting. So so you had all the songs written before you got to Bozeman.
Yeah.
Have you been writing since you've gotten here?
I think that I had, after, like, finishing the EP, and right now I'm in the middle of, like, booking a couple of shows, and I'm also in the middle of putting out a music video that I filmed here in Montana. I'm just taking a little bit of, like, a break, because trying to finish an EP, like, one song alone it's just so time consuming, especially if you're producing it all by yourself. I mean, I was really fortunate. Like, I have a really awesome partner who's an amazing audio engineer. He engineered the EP for me. He was a great co-producer, So I'm really lucky that I had a partner in it, but it was still like really time consuming and difficult, and just can kind of like wear on you. And I'm just kind of giving myself a little bit break. I'm wanting to write again. I really want to just start writing more songs. Like, I'm already thinking about my next EP or my next project and stuff, but I know that I kind of need to pace myself so that I'm not letting this EP just kind of like slide under me and go unnoticed.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, I think that's important to give it the attention that it warrants after putting that much work into it is certainly a good idea. Yeah, I'm always curious about how, I think this is different for different people, but how big an effect like your surroundings and stuff have on the way that your compositions start to take shape and stuff. You know, like I said, it's couldn't hardly be different writing songs here, especially if you're like outside and stuff, versus like writing songs in New York City. Is like, you know, how much of a difference will the surroundings make? I know that's hard to separate out too, because you could listen to somebody who wrote all of their music in the same place, and over time it changes, or, you know, you get done with one album and you decide to do, you know, make a shift or something. But, I just think some of those things are interesting to try to think about. What are all of the different influences that songwriters have, and how much of an effect do those different influences have? How much of a weight do they have on the way that you proceed and stuff? I think is interesting to wonder about. Now, it's probably not worth much time, because I'm sure for every, it's so different for each individual that you probably can't extract much like generalized knowledge from that.
Yeah. I feel like the EP progressed as my life was progressing, as like cheesy as that sounds. Like, I started off writing all these songs like just in my bedroom, and then I made this huge move from like New York to Montana, which was kind of like this big adventure. And I guess like as my perspective was expanding, like my music was kind of expanding. It was just like, oh, okay, I don't want this to be acoustic anymore. Actually, like, I want to have like this like dark, heavy drone and stuff in it. And I think nature is really inspiring for electronic music. I know that sounds like weird. Like, people, when people think of electronic music, they're like just kind of like cinder block buildings, city lights, but I think like nature is super inspiring, like, for making electronic music. It's like more of like the frequencies, I feel like, opposed to like the like technical or like the physicality of like being in front of a computer and stuff. Like, I know that's like the complete opposite of nature, but I don't know, just like the frequencies in electronic music, I feel like they kind of like, like, that's the kind of music I want to listen to when I'm, like, going on a hike by myself or something, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of things out there in nature, the tones and the frequencies and the tempos.
Yeah.
You know, that you can tap into if you're paying attention when
you're
out there.
Yeah, and the colors. Like, just, like, these different colors you get to see when you're out of the city. Like, the sky just being so vastly blue. Like, everyone that's listening, I'm not stoned. Like, this is really just how my brain works. Like, you know, and music is something that's seen in colors, you know? So just, like, seeing all the different plants and the trees and the grass, it's just, like, just, like, the amount of detail, I guess, that goes into it. It's just kind of like electronic music, the amount of detail you put into, like, just making one kind of snare sound, or, you know, how many like layers of vocals you want and stuff. I think they go hand in hand pretty well for me.
That's interesting. Well, cool. I wonder if you want to play another song or two.
Yes. The next song I'm going to play is called Sweet Rain. I wrote and released this song last year in quarantine. And I think it's perfect for today's weather. It's been really rainy. Starts with a tap tap on my window, then a cloud starts to fill the sky. Will I venture out or will I stay low? Either way, I don't wanna get high, 'cause happiness don't mean a thing. once I get a taste of your delicate sin, sing me a song, sweet rain. So hopeless and romantic, so desperately insane. You come around and kill the pain. I'm hopeless and erratic when you drown me in your sweet, sweet. Haven't seen the sun and it's been days now. Dancing to the sound of empty streets. Then I start to miss your face and wonder if you're all alone just like me. Loneliness don't mean a thing, 'cause you're all in thunder, it's so comforting. Sing me a song, sweet rain. So hopeless and romantic, so desperately insane. You come around and kill the pain. I'm hopeless and erratic when you drown me in your sweet, sweet. No one, no sun to keep me warm today, because good vibes just feel so far, far away. Even if it's just for a single moment, I could use a break. Sure could use some heartbreak.
Yeah, that does seem to go pretty well with today.
Thank you. Thanks.
Feels pretty good to feel a little rain today.
Oh, yeah. I love rainy weather. I love sunny weather, but I also love rainy weather. And I think when I wrote this song, it was like a really rainy week in quarantine. And it was like perfect, because it's like you're stuck at home and then it's raining outside and it just kind of feels like the perfect time to stay at home,
right?
Not because there's like this pandemic going on, right. So
because even if there wasn't, you would be staying home anyway.
Yeah, exactly. As silly as that sounds, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to play another one.
Sure. Yeah. The next one I'm going to do is a cover. It's called "Angel Down" by Lady Gaga, and it's off her record "Joanne," which is one of my all-time favorite records. I confess I am lost in the age of the social. On my knees, take a test to be loving and grateful. Shots were fired down the street by the church where we used to meet. Angel down, angel down. Why do people just stand around? And I'm a believer, it's a trial, foolish and weaker. Oh, I'd rather save an angel down. And I'm a believer, it's chaos where a leader is. I'd rather see an angel down. And doesn't everyone belong in the arms of the sacred? Why do we pretend we're all? Has our young courage faded? Shots were fired down the street by the church where we used to meet. Angel down, but the people just turned around. And I'm a believer, it's a trial, foolish and weaker. I'd rather say an angel down. And I'm a believer, it's chaos where a leader is. I'd rather see an angel down. I'm a believer, it's a trial where a leader's. I'd rather save an angel down. And I'm a believer, it's chaos where a leader's. I'd rather save an angel down.
Some pretty intense lyrics.
Yeah. Very suiting for today and everyday's world, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking that some of the questions in there about asking about society and why we do things, some of the things that we do. It's like, yeah, that's pretty apropos for some of the situation in which we find ourselves today.
Yeah, I love that song. It's kind of funny because Dylan, my producer, would be like, you know, if you like this, why don't you just listen to Bob Dylan? Like, that's what he does. Because not that I don't like him, like, I've just never listened to him. I'm like, yeah, but I want to listen to Lady Gaga. So I feel like it's just, like, kind of interesting how we, like, decide who we want to listen to, not always for, like, what they're saying, but, like, and I mean, I think that Lady Gaga has lots of powerful things to say, but for me, I just, you know, I think I definitely connect way more to her than Bob Dylan, which is fine because there's other people that will say vice versa.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing that we can't divorce those parts of us. You know, it's all kind of wrapped up in this whole and we've got all of these notions and external influences and things that make us that lead us to make decisions like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's fascinating. I think you're right. It's probably the converse is probably even more likely, right? Somebody would say, if you said, well, you know, if you like Bob Dylan, you should listen to Lady Gaga because she, you know, she's got some pretty intense lyrics about different things too. And it's like,
right.
No, why would I ever listen to Lady Gaga? Yeah. I can listen to Bob Dylan. It's like, well, maybe.
Right, yeah.
Here's a thought. Try them both and, you know, make up your own mind.
Yeah, try them both and see who you like. I mean, I do love Bob Dylan, actually. I've listened to a couple of stuff. I do like it. Like, I don't listen to him, like, I don't have him, like, on retainer on my playlist because I'd rather listen to Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Kind of sing about similar things, I guess, but I really love this album. It was like her songwriter version, which I thought was really cool and just goes to show how you don't need to like you know, conform to just one genre for your entire right. career and stuff. And she went from just doing like super nightclub electronic music to like writing a song like this, which like goes to show that, you know, how she is like as a person, how versatile she is as a musician. So, yeah, that song's a keeper.
Yeah. So you said you're kind of working out booking some shows to go out and play some of this stuff off the EP now.
Yeah.
Hopefully that works out well. And
I do hope so. I hope that we don't see ourselves in the same place we were in last year. It was it was over a year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was tough.
I mean, it felt like 40 decades some days, but yeah, it was 15 months or more of lockdown and stuff. So.
There was this one, like, there was like this short amount of time where, because the entire world was shut down basically, that a bunch of artists were just kind of like playing concerts online and people were like buying tickets just to see them online. And it was cool to see that, like, the fans or, you know, consumers, however you want to put it, were just willing to continue to support the artists and they were willing to do that. But I noticed that kind of like, maybe it's just me. I know it's only lasted for like a month or two, and then everyone's just like, actually, I'm just done. And I think during that time, I was feeling discouraged too. Like, why even bother like making music? Like, nobody cares right now. And I think that was just me in my own head.
Yeah.
But I did feel like where there was this sudden like, oh, we all need to like stick together and we all need to support each other. But it was just so temporary. You know, it was nice when it lasted, but it was so short and it was temporary. And then and I mean, this past summer it looked like a lot of like shows and festivals were happening, but I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's tough to say. I think, you know, in the rearview mirror, when we can finally look back on this and try to make sense of parts of it, I think that there were some things, some glimpses of humanity that did come out, and I think that was one of them. And I agree, it seemed to be pretty short-lived, and I think there were a lot of reasons for that. I think, for one thing, you had all of these musicians that, like, that was their only outlet, and so there was so much of it all of a sudden, and I got fatigued. I'm like, I can't sit and watch YouTube all night every night.
Even,
I mean, there's great stuff on there. I could watch all night every night and see great artists doing great things. But I just, and I think, you know, the other part of it is as it wore on, it was hard to keep your mind in a space where, you know, you really felt like doing anything.
At least
for me, you know, it's like even oddly enough, even like something that most people associate with like being uplifting, listening to music.
Right.
It's like, oh God, I'm down in the dumps.
And, yeah,
you know,
I
don't have the energy to even listen to music.
I mean, there are people that were struggling to brush their teeth twice a day during quarantine.
Yeah,
I can't imagine if they can like find the motivation to be like, I need to make sure I'm continuing to like support like all my favorite artists and stuff. And I think that it is important to do that because, you know, they could only survive and continue to, you know, do what they do and give the fans and the consumers what they want if they're continuing to be supported. But yeah, it was short-lived. And I mean, I think that if worst case scenario, we find ourselves and that, like, I feel like I'm talking about it like it's just like he who must not be named, like quarantine.
Yeah.
If quarantine were to happen again, like maybe there was something that we as a society learned from it, hopefully. Maybe we would do it better. Maybe we would do it worse. Who knows?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I kind of hope that once we get out, you know, I hope that regardless of where, if we might have to dip into it again, I hope that it will be done after that. And when we come out the other side, maybe some of the things that we experience, we will learn. And, you know, that would be a great one, is that people need to be conscious of the fact that these things that they appreciate, they need to appreciate in a real way, not in a, you know, an ephemeral, peripheral way. It's like if you like music, you have to support the people that make music.
Right.
And, you know, support means you have to give them money, or, you know, you have to enable them to do that. And I hope that we'll retain that. Because there did seem to be a period of time where people acknowledged that and said, oh yeah, you know, we need to do this. We need, you know, I'm used to getting everything on the internet for free, but now I'll pay it. I'll pay for a ticket to watch this on YouTube because I need to, you know, to keep an artist going. So I hope that we retain that when we kind of get out the other end of things too.
Yeah, I definitely hope so. And I mean, I feel like with today, I mean, I guess technically I'm a millennial. I just kind of hate all these different generational things, to be honest, like this generation and that generation. I think it's all kind of silly. So I grew up like buying cassettes and CDs and stuff, and like you really had to like buy a whole CD just to like, right, just to see if you'd like someone, just to find out. And sometimes you find out you only like one or two songs, but you went, you supported them to find out. And nowadays I feel like people just kind of expect art to just be there for them. It's like, yeah, well, you should be putting out new music, and you should be giving me a music video, and you should be going on tour. It's like, they don't have to do all those things, you know, they don't have to entertain you. Right. But yeah, I noticed that a lot of days it's just kind of like expected. And especially with social media, like just like being able to like know, like, you know, with Instagram story, Snapchat story, you can see what your favorite artist is doing on a regular basis. You could see them like what they have with their morning coffee. Right. Like, it's weird. Like I feel like it's kind of like a privilege to be able to like see into their lives, you know, especially if you find them so interesting. But now it's like, no, you have to give me that. You have to,
right,
show me what you do when you walk your dog. I think it's strange. It's like we've kind of like the consumers kind of become entitled to the artist in a way.
Yeah. I think that's very true and very scary. I mean,
yeah,
it's a weird thing. You know, I don't think it's just artists, but certainly very pronounced there. You know, people, there's this weird thing. It's like, well, if it's on the internet, it should be free. Newspapers, books, music. It's like, well, yeah, I it's just there on the internet. Why would I pay for it? It's supposed to just be there for me. I'm like, well, I mean, how often do you go to your job and just give away your labor? I mean, that's
right,
just not the way it works, right?
Exactly.
But there's this weird disconnect. People don't connect dots very well, apparently.
Right. They don't connect like that, the fact that art is work and it requires work, and it's not always fun. It's not always enjoyable, and you don't always want to be there. You know, like I've worked as like a professional violinist for like the past like 6-7 years, and I love it, but I don't always want to do it. You know, I don't always want to play or practice or rehearse. I do most days, but there are definitely days where I don't. There are definitely days where I don't feel like it, and there are days where, like, I, you know, like, question if whether that's something I want to do. And I think that's normal. Yeah, it's just kind of like you treat it the same way you would a job most of the time.
Right, right. Yeah, it's fascinating thinking about how people think. Fascinating and scary and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to play? You've got another song?
Yeah, I've got one more. Okay. That be good?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, we get just about the right amount of time.
Nice. All right. So this song is the last song on my EP. It's called Bottom of the Ocean. But it's okay, I make home of the deep blue sea. Followed every near star, scouted every lost island. But nothing compares to the treasure I keep. Treasure away. sensory. Can you hear it calling? So lost, yet so deep, I've tried so many times just to find it again. Oh, I couldn't take the risk of losing it, even if it cost my life. Can you see it with me? So blue and serene. Can you hear it?
Sounds like a pretty good way to end an EP to me.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I want to thank you for coming in today and playing for us and talking about music. And hope your shows go great. And hopefully things settle down here and you could actually do some shows around Bozeman in the future here.
Oh, I'd love to. There's some great venues here. I'd love to. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is super fun. I love this room. I know people listening can't see it, but it's so cool. Thanks so much for having me and for having some fun conversations with me. And thank you for everyone at home for listening. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and I hope that people will stay tuned. I think next week we've got Dylan Thomas, who you said was the co-producer on your album. He'll be in, I think, next week, and not sure what the week after that, but then in September we'll be starting up the Loken Productions joint ventures, where we're doing video and broadcast streams at the same time. So you can always check out our Facebook page and Instagram. Sometimes we post on Instagram, and we need to get better at that. But find out what we're up to, and you know, get on Bandcamp. And it's Stephen.
Yeah.
Stephen, Steven, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you get like Steven Stephen. It's the same redundant thing. Yeah.
So yeah, you know, find that EP out there on Bandcamp and buy it and listen to it. It's great music, and it's a little bit different. The versions on there are electronic backing tracks and stuff, and I think it's just interesting listening to them and kind of compare and contrast and stuff. So hope people will do that. So keep it tuned right here to KGVM Bozeman. Always something good for your ears. Once in a while, we've got something good for your brain too, make you think a little bit, and that's always a good thing. And if you want to see shows here, I encourage everyone to go out and maybe get vaccinated and see if we can't get this thing tamed down so we can be out listening to music live again. Have a great night, everyone.